You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Right through one day, that song. It's just fantastic. I'll put another song on of, I tell you, I found another song, Don. I could play it over the, it's by Al Green.
Yeah.
I might play a snippet. If you start to ramble and just got off track, I'll just play a snippet through the microphone off my phone.
What about, why your taste? Why don't you listen to what I would suggest?
Right, go ahead.
Okay, but I put songs up, we could play a different song. Don't cut me off. We could play a different song each week, which would reflect our taste in music.
Just give us your taste in music right now before we get on to the affairs of the day and the week.
Well, something from AC/DC or the
Who. Can't play AC/DC.
Who's the expert over here?
You can't play AC/DC or Queen. They're banned. You got to pay money for it, big money. AC/DC and Queen, or there's others as well, but they're the ones that are well known that you just...
Oh, the licensing fee. They did that back when I had my shops. The check came in from whoever it was and I had to pay right out a check because we were playing music back in the 70s,
APRA. That's APRA, right? AC/DC and Queen don't subscribe to that. If you want to play them, like Holden used them in the past, that's big dough.
Oh, really?
So Don, when you had your shops, these are fashion shops, were they?
Oh, so we got to set the scene, build the scene up again.
I want to ask you about the music.
They were jean shops. As you remember, jeans were the go back in the old days, Johnny.
I remember, Don, but the people listening might...
Well, what demographic do we appeal to, do you think?
No one.
No one? No one listens. They want to know the answer to the question last week.
Right, just before if we just keep jumping from topic to topic, people get confused.
But this is your job to keep us on track.
Well, I'm doing it right now.
Well, you didn't do a good job with Rex last week.
Well, listen to me, Don. So you had jean shops and you played music in the background and you got lumbered by the...
APRA
authorities.
Or
what? Yes. APRA. What? Yeah. What music did you play in your
whatever
jeans
was
shops?
Whatever was relevant at that time.
Whatever was top 40.
That's right.
And Kylie Minogue.
And an actual
spinning
fact,
around.
Actual fact. One of the songs
she's
we
getting
played,
married.
Who?
Kylie.
She is getting married.
I think I read that. Oh. Or the person she's going out with's mother. The man that she's going out with's mother
yes.
said that it's on.
Who's jumping around now?
I hope I didn't dream that, because I don't dream about Kylie a hell of a lot, but she's a star, a lover.
Why?
Don't you think she is a Australian pop diva? She is fantastic,
diva?
That girl. What's a
well,
diva?
We've all got like a misbehaving sort of, isn't it?
No, well, I mean in the nicest sense. You might say, oh, she can't sing or hey, she can't do. She is a great entertainer. I think she's one of the top Australian entertainers ever. Ever? Not the top, maybe. Don, what music? So you played Spinning Around. What did you play in the jean shops in the 70s?
Well, I would have played this song, which I think... is applicable today, and the way out this now it was by Buffalo Springfield. Do you remember Buffalo Springfield? They were a big group.
Are you serious? Buffalo Springfield.
Springfield,
no.
American.
Yeah,
and
no.
Their hit song was For What It's Worth, and it summed up well how society was back in those days. And I think it's relevant for our times right there. There's something.
Is this the words?
Here. These are the words.
Well, you were just about to speak as though you were speaking. Say these are the words.
Thanks, Johnny.
Well, go on.
I'm glad I've got you here opposite me.
These are the
lyrics. For What It's Worth was a song by Buffalo Springfield. Play it. There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I've got to beware. But I think the first two lines really sum up what's happening in Melbourne society right now.
I see. So you played that in your jean shops. Well,
that was one of the songs we played. Doobie Brothers, Lou Reed. You just go on and on.
You do go on and on.
Elton John, he was just starting to become bigger.
Hey, kids, shake it loose together. The spotlight's hitting something that's bound to change the weather. We'll kill the fatted calf tonight, so stick around. We're going to hear electric music, solid worlds of sound. So, Kenny and Ronnie, have you seen them yet? Oh, because I'm so spaced out. Benny and the Jets. So Don, what did you used to... You used to turn up and unlock the shop and walk in there, and what did you used to wear? Some of the product? Did you have
platform
the...
Platform shoes.
Platform shoes to make yourself look bigger and tougher?
No, well, they were the go then. They were blue.
And tights?
Had platform. No tights.
Flares.
The Sharpies used to wear the tight...
and you used to wear the...
518 Levi's and Sharpies.
You turned up to the tribunal when you belted me one day at the football and you got reported for hitting me.
You got reported for hitting you, lying hound.
So
you got reported.
We turned up to
first
Harrison.
First time you got.
Turned up to Harrison House, and you turned up it.
Yeah, I know this, and he had those ones.
Bell bottom, yeah,
yeah, and you could see his agates too, tight.
You had the.
Weren't even around back. No, I remember.
You had the camel toe. You had the agates completely split by the seam of the jeans. There was a plum on one side of the zip and a plum on the other, and I don't know where the snag
they
was.
They were baggies. They weren't flared.
No, they weren't.
They were.
I'm going to Google it.
Anyhow, you turned up. I can't remember
and
the chairman.
Velvet
who
jacket?
Was the chairman? Who was the chairman of the...
Jack Gaffney.
Jack Gaffney. Yes. Had never seen fashion like it. No. You turned up with a beret, a handbag, bell-bottom jeans, platform shoes, and a velvet jacket. And Eddie thought, holy shit, look at these fancy Dans. I was no better.
You came in a Vaco top, a leather jacket,
yeah,
and it had a U-neck. The jumper was short sleeve. I remember Vaco because they were down in Toorak or somewhere, weren't they?
That's
Gucci.
Right. Yeah, so you used to wear those. So that's what you used to wear while
you had
were
these shocking,
playing that shit.
Shocking
buffalo,
navy blue. Buffalo, no, not Mozart. Buffalo. Just, no, hang on. Your pants were junior navy.
All right. Anyhow, Don.
They were shocking colour. You had no dress.
So that's the first thing. So you used to wear all that shit and listen to Buffalo.
No, that wasn't what I... No. I wore something different to the tribunal that night.
We should have
cameras here.
There's no good showing him pictures on it because people
can't see him. Well, if it's the one, we could have posted it.
So just before...
And the other memorable thing, you represented yourself, I think, at that tribunal, and it's about time
tribunal.
You were caught. Tribunal.
Not tribunal. Go
it
on.
It was about time you got caught. That was the first time you got caught because you'd been doing it for years, whacking from behind.
Excuse me.
Whacking right. From behind.
Mm.
And
love taps.
I'll never forget, John Schultz was there.
Yes.
He was, and yeah, when you were giving your summary, he being a ruckman, he started to nod in agreement,
yeah.
And I thought, you bastard, you are off
you
this.
Wanted to
you are off this. You will get off.
You wanted to...
No, you will get off this
Don,
case. You had him agreeing,
this is
and I thought, this is there's an injustice here. You should have gone
this
for
is
weeks.
The problem, Don. When it was an unwritten law that when players went to the tribunal, they tried to get each other off. They used to say, no, it didn't happen, no, this and that. You were delighted. You were trying to get me suspended.
I'd get in front position.
Yes.
And then the next time I thought, here we go, he'll set me up, I'll get in front, and then he'll come through with a whoosho from behind
and
whack me right across.
That's correct. And I was trying to let you know, don't get in front, Don.
That's exactly right. I knew everything, and it's about time you went.
Oh, so you wanted to get me out. You
gave
evidence.
About time you learnt your lesson.
You gave evidence at the tribunal. You said to John Schultz, no, he was nodding in agreement with me. And you said, no, this man should be suspended. You put the case why I should almost be put in jail. Anyhow, Don.
And you got off. You got off.
I got off because...
That was a travesty of justice.
I tell you why I got off, Don, because I said, as the ball dropped down because you're in front, I mistook, because it was raining, I mistook his head for the ball, and I swiped at the ball and hit his noggin because you had that silly little cap on or something. You used to plaster your hair down with Vaseline so it didn't get in your eyes. You had hair in those days, RoboCop. Now, so that's
well,
that.
You were dyeing your hair. You were before your time. You were putting tints and different colours in
your hair.
No,
I was tipping it.
Tipping it?
Yeah.
Well, okay, well, whatever. It was a blondy, browny colour.
It was blonde tips, Don.
Well, it was different.
And a moustache.
Do Did you have the moustache?
Yeah, I did have a moustache.
Yeah, but that was later. I thought that was in the mid 70s.
I'm glad you've kept track of how I've looked over the years. Now, Don, so last week you left us with a question, a salacious question, a little bit grubby, to be honest. I want you to repeat the question. It's a little bit grubby. This is from your eternal Christmas present that keeps giving, the gift that keeps giving. And people, you wouldn't believe it, we've had thousands of people wanted to know. They couldn't give a stuff about what else we spoke
and
about.
And the Liquor and Gaming Commission called in too. They're worried about it.
Well, this is because we had Rex on. I asked the question when Rex, and Rex just took over.
What about Rex? Rex, do you know Rex texted me?
It's going to happen again. You're not going to get this out.
Rex texted me 3 days ago, and he said, wouldn't believe it, just backed a horse in New Zealand, some New Zealand race over there, and the jockey was a bloke called Jiz. And I said, because we had Jiz Horncamp.
Yeah.
And Rex, and I said, he said, there's a jockey on there called Jiz. And I said, well, the Rocket looked it up, and he said it's spelled J-I-double-Z. I said, our man was G-I-double-Z, and his name was Horncamp.
Yeah.
So Rex thought it was extremely humorous that there was a man called Jiz riding a horse.
He gave me a call too.
About that?
Didn't ring me.
No.
He didn't ring the Rocket.
Yeah, he
rang me. Don, the people
so
asked...
You didn't want to know why he rang me.
Yes, I do. Go on, Don.
No, it doesn't matter.
Why did he fucking ring you, Don?
He wanted to know whether I still wanked.
A big pun?
Yes, that's what
he
I...
He asked you a lot of strange questions, didn't he? About what time you eat, what you ate. He wanted to know. Yeah. The best one was what time you took your sleeping pill, and you said just before you go to bed. That was handy for him. It was just incredible, wasn't it? He wanted to know everything.
Now
that was his opening line. Do you still wank?
What?
Who's on the...
Yeah. Well,
I'm sure he's glad you've shared that with everyone too.
Well, yeah. I'll share something with you. He won't mind me saying this.
Oh, yeah.
He might. He won't.
I bet you he does.
I'm driving my car one day. Someone was in the car. Might have been... Someone was in the car with me and I had done speakerphone. No, it's not what you're thinking I'm saying, Don.
You say every time I ring you in the phone. Now, I've got somebody beside me.
Well, I'll, do you want me to tell you that story again?
No,
I'm in the car with some people and he rings. This is true. This is absolutely true. And I've got, so I'm driving the car and I do the right thing. I have it on speakerphone. He said, hey, listen. He said, this is after we'd had a prostate ad. He said, can you still get a fat? He said, can you still get a fat without injecting your cock or taking tablets? And I said, Don, just 1 minute. I've got people in the car. I'll take the phone off speakerphone. That was the end of the... So he hung up. So that's exactly what he said.
What was the answer?
So that's... Don, that's exactly what he said. You said that. So Rex, I'm driving along one day. This is the conversations you have with that man who is just on another planet. It's not rude or anything, but he said, I answered the phone and he said, oh, Sam, it's Rex here. I said, yeah, hello, Rex. He said, can I ask you a personal question? I thought this will be good. Might be along the wanking lines or something. He said, can I ask you how many litres of water you drink a day? And I said, a big pun, Rex. He said, I'm sorry, I don't want to intrude into your personal life. You think I'm making this up?
No, I don't, because that's what he says
he
to me.
He said, I don't want to intrude into your personal life.
That's right.
But how many litres of fucking water do you drink a day? And I said, Rex, I don't mind answering that question. No, that's a reasonable question, Rex. Let me think about that, he said. Well, he said, if you want to get back to me, I said, no, I can answer that on the spot, Rex. I don't have to think about it. I said, maybe 1.5 or 2. He said, 2 litres. He said, you'd have to piss a lot. I said, where's this conversation headed? I thought, oh, fuck. So anyhow, so
that's
he's a very.
Okay, I don't want to intrude.
He's a very
this
good
is
man.
Personal.
Yeah. Can I? No. He
then
said,
the
"Can
question
I?
Comes.
Can I ask you a personal question?" Yes. Yes. He said, "What are you wearing today?"
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, well, I'll tell you." So anyhow, Don.
Hang
so
on. Finish the question. Give the question the answer.
No, so Don, this is the question people asked before we get on to much more serious matters. This is the question we were asked during the pod after the podcast was over.
Podcast,
could Don
then?
Give the answer to the question? Now, give us
the question
and read it out so people can understand it. You're dyslexic and you've got a speech impediment, Don. So read it out clearly and distinctly.
Masturbating yourself close to climax, then yelling for your mum or dad and trying to finish before they come running in your room is called A, the mother load. B, the a suicide wank. C, minute to win it. D, beating the parents.
I'll go D.
So you're going, hang on, D, beating the parents.
I'm not even hesitating.
Come on.
Guess.
You think I wanted to?
I'm going mother load. I don't know what that
you're
means.
Going A, the mother load. The answer is...
Right, now wait. Da-da!
The answer is B,
oh.
A suicide wank.
Thank you, Don.
So for all those people out there, I hope we've...
With their sweeps.
Answered. That was last week's question.
I'll open the door. I see the church committee have just come in for the annual church fete. Hello, Vicar. Yes, take a seat. We'll be with you in a minute. Sorry about that. Did you get that question that Don asked? No, you didn't hear. Good. Thank you very much. Well, all the best. God bless. Right, now, Don. So,
what about that song that I told you about? I just read you the lyrics from Buffalo Springfield. The song is called For What It's Worth. Do you think there's something going on?
Give us the words again, quick.
There's something, it opens up with, there's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. Now, do you think that kind of sums up what's going on in our society at the moment?
Well, that's quite interesting you say that, Don, because a man contacted me, but I haven't replied to him personally, but he said, here it is, he said this, he said, his name, I'll tell you his name because his name is Charles Warrer. Warra? I don't know if he's... I don't know...
Sorry, he texted you, did he?
He contacted me on my social media platform, which is Original Smarter Sam or Ridge Smarter Sam.
Okay.
And I don't know if Charles Warra is Indigenous or what, but with a white name like Warra, you might think so, but I don't know. And he said, we are now in an era where 5% of the population are dictating to the other 95%. And he said... 5% is a little generous. It's probably 2 or 3% of the population are now dictating how we should live our lives and what we should say and how we should act. That's a reasonable quote from a man. As I say, I don't know his heritage or anything, but I thought in response to what you said, that's what's happening in our community. You wait till we get on to what's happening in our community.
But just to read, just harking back, sorry to cut you off, I'm just looking at the rest of the lyrics in this song and they're really quite profound. And this is back in the 60s and it really could be applied
To today.
To today.
Right, thank you,
Don. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody, look what's going down.
Now I want to give you a small amount of credit, Don, because I don't do that a lot because there's nothing to give you a lot of credit for usually on these podcasts, but
that's fine. I just work hard for this podcast and finish up with a migraine when I've finished.
You might have been ahead of the curve when you remember when we ridiculed you because you said that wouldn't it be a good idea if people quarantining could be put into camps at Amberley Air Base?
No, not Amberley. I suggested that initially, but then I came up with...
other camps?
Woomera.
Rocket Range?
Yeah, the Rocket Range,
yes.
Where there's a long airstrip.
Yeah, well,
where
don't
the
go
big
on.
Jets.
Don't go on with it. Don't.
Well, it's in the middle of the desert. No one can get away.
I just said, on the news today, some spokesperson, it was actually a woman, I think, said that it was ridiculous, she thought, to put... billeted people into hotels where there's other normal guests, as opposed to the ones that have got COVID, it would be good if we isolated them into camps and made up special areas so that those people who are under COVID embargo have to be contained together on a in a camp. And I thought they might have been listening to you, Don, because you suggested that, didn't you?
Well, society years ago, remember leprosy? They had an island.
A big pun?
Leprosy, leprosy. Remember there was a disease called leprosy where people lost part of their limbs. They used to put those people on an island, just segregate them. Now, why aren't these people segregated?
We could get a leprosy island and put...
We could get an island. There's plenty
Tassie.
Of islands. Well, there's islands in Bass Strait.
We'll send them down to Tassie, the lepers. Be a leper colony.
People with COVID are coming back into Australia. Why? Anyway.
Hollow in Tasmania.
People in Tasmania, like some people are just happy to have a roof over their head when they live. In Tasmania, they're happy to have a roof in their mouth. That's a joke. Now, that's just a joke. Now, listen to me, Don. Listen.
And try to pretend, Don, that you don't
have about you've that. Read out what you call it if you're having a jizz in front of your family and you've given the answer and you're worried about that. That's a joke. About the roof in the mouth. Now listen, Don. This is not. I'm going to cover this because I put on my social platform a picture of a transcript from an AFL record, which incidentally is sponsored by the Players Association, of a man called Harry O'Brien, who is now called
Heretia Lumumba.
He's now called that. In the profile in the Australian Football League record, sponsored by the AFL Players Association, Harry O'Brien said, among other things, and the only reason that this is not.
Can I just ask?
Yes.
You mean the pro? There was a pro. Player profile
yes.
in the footy record.
In the footy record. Now,
no,
I want to, just
it.
Before I go on, this has nothing to do with racism at all, because that is the most overworked and overused word in the English lexicon as we speak. If you speak about someone from another ethnic background or race, people just immediately call you racist, and that's such a bogus tag to put on people. We know that... firsthand here from a podcast we did about wondering why someone lifted their jumper up at a game 20 years ago. It was a perfectly reasonable conversation and we intended to offend no one and we just were having a conversation, but people grabbed hold of it and as a consequence we paid the penalty. So this has nothing to do with race at all, this. But in a player profile, I'm told that they keep them on a bank, a bank of player profiles, and when someone plays a good game, they put the player profile out in the record the next week because it's of public interest to the people who go to the football. And the player himself answers the questions himself, writes them down, and they have them on record. It's not some dribbler doesn't ring him up and say, oh, what's this and that and that, and he writes it out. The player himself.
Yeah, my memory of it is at that time, it's the Players Association used to get all the players to fill them out before at the start of the season. You know what I mean? Then they do a deal with the footy record and they hand them all over and the footy record chooses what they want from them.
So the reason I'm bringing this up, and I said on the platform that I have, Original Smarter Sam, I said I showed the player profile out of the football record from 2000 and whatever it was,
Seven.
2007. And immediately people said, oh, you're a racist, because I showed the profile. And this is what the profile said. And the only reason this has nothing to do with racism, the only reason I bring this up is that do you think it would not be fair and transparent and in the interests of... just in the interest of being fair and giving people all the information so they could make a decision about what went on and is going on at Collingwood, to put some perspective on it, would it not be reasonable to show that this is how this person, Harry O'Brien, answered this question in the player profile.
Which was? What did he say?
And one of the questions was nicknames. Now, he must have... He wrote this out because people don't take this down and record it. He writes it and they put it on file. He said nickname, Chimp, along with H and...
The Prince and
the
whatnot.
Prince or something. So his first, Chimp. And then... This, please, this, I'm just in the interest of fairness of what's going on at Collingwood. So, and the and this has been suppressed because people don't want a narrative to go the wrong way because it doesn't suit their point of view, whatever that is, whatever that is. And then he said, if you could come back as another animal, what would you like to be? And his answer was chimpanzee. Now, would you think... that if you're an impressionable, and please, I'm at pains, I've just, they are protesters too much, I'm at pains to say this has nothing to do with racism, but per se, but if you're an impressionable young footballer at Collingwood and you were playing with a man who said that his nickname's Chimp and he would like to be a chimpanzee if he came back in and out, would you think it's reasonable so people could make a considered judgment about what's going on at Collingwood that some players, impressionable young players like we were when we started on, might think, well, it's a bit of a green light to actually call him one of those names, which are not acceptable these days. It was a mistake. He probably thinks it's a mistake now that he said that. Would you think that what's going on at Collingwood, that someone might... bring this up and say, well, look, that's what he said about himself, before you rip the living guts out of someone like Eddie Maguire and don't blame anyone else at that club who were there in all those days, would you think it's fair that you might say, well, this is what he said about himself, so let's just examine all the facts and not just hold back information that might give people a different perspective of what's going on, Rod?
I understand what you're saying. I don't think it changes. I also understand what he said, which was he had to go along to get along, right? Because he was young and he wanted to be accepted by the group. So I get that. So it doesn't change that there was racism at the club and whatnot, right? It doesn't change any of that. So we accept all that, what he said, and we're not saying that this means that there wasn't or anything like that. But I think what it does do and why it's been unfair that it hasn't been reported is it shows that everybody, we've come so far in 15 years, right? We've all come so far in 15, in 30 years, in 40 years, whatever, right? But it shows that everybody was making mistakes at one point, including Harry. I mean, Heredia. Heredia himself was making the mistake of allowing people to call him Chimp and encouraging people to call him Chimp. Therefore, it's really unfair to go retrospectively back and point the finger at other players or other people around the club for doing the same thing. So
Rocket, this is exactly
my
point.
It's really complex. It's hard.
But that is exactly my point. We're not condoning it. I mean, every time I am mentioned now, I am called a racist because I had an opinion about someone called Adam Goods. I painted my face black 20 years ago, a mistake that 50 other Australian entertainers have made over the journey. That doesn't make it right. 500,000 people around the world have done it over the journey, doesn't make it right. But I am now identified as painting my face black and a racist because we have an opinion about people from other ethnic backgrounds or races, which is different from decrying, defiling or degrading someone and calling them names that you would not call them now. But please allow people to say there's some perspective in this if that is what the man himself said his name is. And that's what he'd like to be. And that is nothing to do with race. But when you're rounding up someone like Eddie Maguire, who, for God's sake, all the people who stood behind him, I could mention their names, top people in this community, men and women
stood
alike.
Stood behind Maguire the open letter?
Stood behind Maguire when they had successive positions on their Collingwood board and... He is the man who's taken the flak. What about all these great people who I won't mention their names? What about the lady, Jody Sizer, an Aboriginal woman who stood beside Eddie while he made that unfortunate comment, I presume, at the press conference last week and nodded in agreement and seemed to back him up? How about those people who are captains of industry and prominent people who are on the board and been members of the Collingwood hierarchy. How about they said, well, look, we went along with it too. It was, I don't know why you're jumping in on him. Eddie Maguire, I'm tell you, he's a friend of mine, but I what they have done to that man is an absolute disgrace. He's made some errors. Harry O'Brien in 2007 made an error, probably by saying that what he'd like to be called or what his nickname is. I've made an error. There's plenty of people who made errors, but don't keep calling people racists because just because you have an opinion about someone that mightn't be satisfactory to those people who are their supporters. We know only too well here, and the AFL, for God's sake, how can the AFL escape? There's a report coming out, I'm told, about from Peter Jackson, a scathing report about the AFL's handling of, is this right, as you understand it, Rocket? A scathing report coming about the AFL's handling of racism in the whole competition. And it is a scathing report which has been suppressed, hasn't been released. I am told this. If someone likes to refute that, that's fine. If Peter Jackson likes to refute that, that's fine. But over the journey, the AFL, who jump up and down at us, who were actually implicated in our case that we were said that we vilified a player for lifting. We were only discussing it, and then they go me and they say the comments I made about Winmar.
Well, hang on, what did you say about the AFL?
Were disgraceful, which I didn't make any comments. The AFL got involved in our case because they probably wanted to do a bit of window dressing because they knew this report, they were sitting on it, and it was scathing. So they thought, oh, we'll do a bit of posturing by jumping into us for no reason. The AFL have overseen the current administration have overseen how they have stayed in office has got me buggered. They've stuffed up the Essendon Football Club saga. They made a mess of the Adam Goods saga. They've remember the tanking inquiry about Melbourne. They stuffed that up. They denied hush money was paid. This is nothing to do with Ross Lyon, but well, indirectly it is. But they covered up the hush money that was paid to make that court case go away. They've the crowd behaviour was not overseen by half the people leaving the country when it was on, not keeping their foot on the accelerator. The state of the game is just in a deplorable state as far as spectacle and scoring goes. They had the sex scandal where two people at the AFL deigned to go out with two other people who happened to be man and woman. Wouldn't matter if it was man and man or woman and woman, but they happened to go out with two other people and got lost their jobs because of it. Seriously, they've overseen more crisis and more controversy in a day's march than you ever have in your lifetime, Don. And they're jumping up and down about Collingwood. They've overseen this stuff. What they've done, how about someone comes out and says Eddie Maguire actually is a very decent man, and how about all the other people under him that knew this was going on? And we asked, I'm sorry about this, but I'm just getting a head of steam here. I'll try and keep calm. We asked a friend of what we thought was a friend of ours, a weasel of a man, I asked yesterday if he could give me a copy of the record that said that Harry O'Brien said that his nickname is Chimp. Only because we wanted to think it's fair to say that. Let's just have the information and then people can decide how culpable Collingwood people are. If that man says that's his nickname and he's called that name, people jump up and down and say, oh, you shouldn't have called him that. This person said, no, he had the article, but he wouldn't send it to me. I said, why wouldn't you? And he said, well, I've been asked not to release it. And I said, you've been asked not to release an AFL record that says that player profile. I said, why? What are you...
Who said to him,
I'm not telling you who it was.
No, no, no. I'm not asking you who your informant was. Who told your informant not to release?
No, they made that decision themselves, I would say.
I said, could you send me a photo and of you, the
that's
article?
Right, and you said, he said, no, they told me I'm not allowed to release it.
The person who sent it to him said, oh, right. The person who sent it to him said, don't make this public, or let it. And I said, why not? Would you, and this is my question, would you not think that if someone sent it to this man that wouldn't send it to me, if someone sent it to him in the first place, would you think that they might think, wow, that's extraordinary that that man says that? Why wouldn't they let that go into the public arena unless they were trying to push a narrative that they didn't want exposed, as in that man said it's all right to call him that name? That's nothing to do with racism, and that is fairness and giving some perspective to a thing that has just driven a man out of office who has been great for that club. He's been great for this community. He's set up he set up institutions and charities and Indigenous organisations at the Collingwood Football Club. He's made a couple of errors. He's had people stand behind him who have taken no flack at all for what went on, and what they have done to that man is an absolute disgrace. And as for the people, this is the last thing I'll say, Don. And if people say this is nothing to do with racism, but the people who have rounded him up and signed a petition, I'm going to, and then you'll know I'm not reading this. I'm looking at you in the eye when I say this, because I know this. This is what I believe. That a bloke called William Allen White said this. He was a journalist. Said this 50 years ago about fellow journalists or fellow people in the media or fellow people who in groups who say things. And those people who signed a petition and said that Eddie Maguire should be run out of town and put on a container ship and sent overseas on an ebbing tide and never come back. This is what William Allen White said, and I would apply this statement to them. With pig's eyes that never look up, a pig's snout that knows only muck, a pig's brain that only knows the sty, and a pig's squeal that only cries when it's hurt, they sometimes open their pig's mouth, turked and ugly, and let out the voice of God railing at the whitewash that covers the manure about their habitat. That sums those people up.
The only problem with that man, and his quote is, he doesn't realise the intelligence that pigs do possess. They're a very intelligent animal.
That's not the point.
No, I understand his point, but he was wrong too because he didn't know his subject. But I understand what you're saying.
This is the thing that I have an issue with, is that we all need to...
No, they're exceptionally intelligent.
We need to calm the farm a bit, right? This is the problem, is that... It just feels like everybody's out to trip everybody else up at the moment. There's this whole, is payback, there's... And I just think sometimes the motivation isn't as pure as they're letting on. And what is the point of educating if we're never going to forgive people who might have had a misstep in the past? If that's the case, they'll never accept you. It doesn't matter how much you say you're on board. I mean, like if you've done one thing wrong, whether it be, you know, with racism, sexism, homophobia... whatever, right? All these things. If you've got a misstep in your past, these people will never accept you. So there's no point educating people if that's the case. And that just doesn't make any sense. Ultimately, we are a product of our environment. We're a product of our era.
We're victims.
Well, yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that, mate, we will look back at the way we're behaving now, as in the things in 30, 40 years. I might, you guys probably won't. And probably look at in shame. You know, I mean, like things change, ideologies change, behaviors change. You know, look at that means anybody who has faith, you know, in religion, should we go back and if they are disciplined, you know, religious people, we're going to wipe them out of history,
Robert,
as well.
You're going to take a building in the park when you finish today. No, very good points, Don.
The seventh paragraph.
I've been looking at you, Don. I've been looking at you, just trying to work out. I've been trying to look through your eyes into the back of your soul, and you could come up with the fact that pigs are intelligent after we've had a discussion for 20 minutes about what might be going on.
Well, it shows your lack of knowledge about animals. They are exceptionally intelligent.
It wasn't his quote.
I know. I said the man didn't do his research, not Johnny, the man who said that. But going back
going back to the song by Buffalo Springfield.
Oh, fuck Buffalo Bill.
Well, the third verse. Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.
I'm afraid of what's going to come out of your mouth next. Now, so I'm going to ask one final question to both of you, and you can please just give the answer you wish. Don't. It's not a Dorothy Dixer. Do you think it fair that the press alerted people to the fact that Harry O'Brien in 2007 said that about himself? When you're trying to make a decision about some of the aspects of what's going on at Collingwood, do you think everyone is a little culpable of what's going on there, including the man himself, who would probably regret that he did that? I regret what I've done several times. People, Eddie has regretted some of the statements he's made. But seriously, and to Rocket's point of view here, this just goes on and on and on with division. How about some perspective about what's going on and try and move on without ripping the soul out of someone who actually doesn't deserve it?
I think the problem...
Is that a question?
Yes. Oh, it's reasonable? Do you think press... Why would they try and suppress that?
I think it's the sport or the vehicle, which is, in our case, the AFL. I think it made it, this is a repercussion of it getting involved in social issues. It's not, it's there to sport.
A very good point.
And it should just look after sport, not social issues. And if people want to get involved in social issues, there is
that. They raise their head and they've got to deal with it.
Beg your pardon?
There
were issues in the past, Rodney, when the AFL was run by four or five people in Harrison House, Spring Street. Now, they never got involved in social issues. They were there purely
as a... It's too big now, mate. It transcends, I reckon.
No, I'm sorry. Anyway, that is my thing, that it's been brought on themselves. They should just stick to administering the sport instead of getting involved in social issues. And this is a repercussion because it receives a lot of notoriety, AFL, as does sport in Australia.
So, and to answer, yes, I understand what you're saying.
It's a vehicle to be used.
Okay, but to answer your question about that Harry O'Brien,
yes.
As he was known then.
Yes, that's right. That's survey. What he was known then.
Yep. I think there's lots of answers to that. One is, well, there's lots of people, I guess, as shit scared, right, as we all are. I mean, we're tiptoeing around it now.
We're not tiptoeing.
Well, we're trying to be sensitive to it, of what is an incredibly complex situation that everybody's made mistakes. We're all getting better. And instead of just embracing each other and say, let's all continue to get better, we shouldn't be going around pointing fingers at people and go, well, you fucked up fucking 21 years ago. I mean, Jesus Christ, as you said yourself, I mean, there are darlings of the left, you know, in the US alone that have done blackface years after you did. I mean, Jimmy Fallon, Tina Fey's show did it. All these people—they did it like 10 years after you, and they're all accepted because they're on the right. They're on the right team.
This is not condoning or an excuse for any of that.
No.
But you just said then. Do you think it not unreasonable? Why would anyone try and suppress that
because they're scared to be looking complicit in some sort of, why
are we the only forum? The only. Why am I the only person in the interest of fairness, nothing to do with racism or the Brazilian-born Harry O'Brien, why am I the only person to address something that no one will even talk about in case they get branded?
No, but that survey went through so many sets of hands before it was put to air, right? So first of all, he did it, right? He made a mistake.
Sets of hands, you mean people interviewed?
No, hang on. Heredia would acknowledge that he made a mistake by going along with that. And we understand why.
We
understand why he made it. Well, it was the go along to get along. He has acknowledged that, right? He said he went along with that nickname to get along with the team, right? We get that. We understand that, right? But that in itself creates other issues where, as you said earlier, young kids think it's okay to call him that name because
Chimp,
because that's what he wanted to be called.
Well, that's right.
He listed that as his nickname in the survey, for example. But then you've got the fact that the AFL Players Association then collected these surveys, right? Yep. They didn't say to him, hey, mate, this is wrong, this is racist, you can't say that. So are they nervous that, you know, that they're somehow complicit in it? Then it goes to, I would imagine, an editor, right, at the Footy Record. He didn't say, well, this is a problem in 2007. He printed it. Then there's a publisher, and the publisher didn't say, well, here's a problem. He printed it. The AFL print, it's under the AFL banner. They didn't say there was anything wrong with it. They printed
exactly
it.
And I think
that's why it's being concealed, because everyone's going, shit, we don't want to look like we didn't realise. Because you know what? We all make mistakes.
So how about it? That's all I'm saying. How about a bit of honesty and transparency before you throw Eddie under the bus? And I, as I say, I could read these names out and you'd say, wow, is that right? Were they at the club then? I could name out...
I know who was on the board.
So how about they put their hand up and say, look, we didn't kick back or push back on any of this that's going on. I don't know why you're just ripping the heart out of this man. And he can look after himself. He's a big man. But I would say he would be gut-wrenched with what's going on, because he comes from very good stock. He is a very good person, and he would be abhorred at what's going on. But he probably won't bother to say it because he doesn't want to exacerbate the situation. But I'm happy to exacerbate it for him, because it is wrong. Wrong. Anyhow, now that's what we've said about that. If that gets construed, righto, we'll have. That gets construed as anti anything or racism, then you are deliberately being mischievous. You're deliberately not understanding what we or I am saying. So that is it. And now what we'll do is, Don, what did you point at your watch for?
Because it's time for sport.
Well, I thought it'd be time for general.
This is general.
I've got a million.
Oh, you say this every week.
Hit the button.